Good morning. Well, some of you know that my father was a radio personality in the 40s and 50s. He was an announcer for Edgar Bergen, Phil Harris, Kay Kaiser, many others, and he was even the announcer for the Academy Awards hosted by Bob Hope in 1954. His own show, for which he was best known, was The Whistler. Now, my father had a beautiful, well-trained voice, a radio voice. And actors were trained to have similar voices. They called it the American Standard, which today sounds mildly British with soft R's and crisp diction. Now, character actors, of course, learned to create comic voices that more often than not were stereotypical in ways that today we might find offensive. But the radio voice, the American Standard voice, was the sound of the well-educated, the sophisticated, the trained, and, well, to be blunt, the Caucasian male. It's a beautiful, soothing, predictable, respectable sound, but it is stripped of ethnicity, personality, location, difference. It is stripped of nuance, of emotion, of meaning, and some would say the truth. Listen. Last night for dinner, I had two desserts. I'm sorry to say your dog died. The tulips are finally in bloom. I exaggerate, but only a little. Where is the meaning? The sound is disconnected from the meaning, from the truth. It is manicured and always sounds the same. Now, happily, most, not all, but most vocal training has changed over the last 50 years, with Kristen Linkletter's freeing the natural voice, which sought to train strong, vibrant, flexible voices by reconnecting the voice to the living, emotional center, to the soul of each individual person, to connect the voice to the truth. Our voices are part of our identity. They are part of who we are, part of how we're recognized, part of how we share our truths and reveal our depths. So, two things to think about today. Our own struggles to find our own true, unmanufactured voice, and how to hear the full, free, authentic voice of Jesus. All of the readings today are in some way about Jesus as our good shepherd. We are the sheep of his pasture, and we seek to follow his voice. Not a manufactured, acceptable shepherd voice, but a deep, authentic, real, and powerful voice unlike any other, connected to the Father within him, filled with the sound of authority, goodness, love, humor, and power that is his alone. A voice that we know reached up the hillsides, drew huge crowds, comforted children, gently healed the sick, and cut through all the artifice. A voice that once heard is never forgotten. Like your mother's voice, or someone you have loved, whose voice lives within you. And you can still hear right now. Sometimes we're not sure who even someone is until we hear their voice. The written Bible can't quite capture Jesus' voice, can it? Words can describe it, set the scene for us, tell us what was said, mention the voice and the response to it, but the Bible can't play us the recording. We, each of us, must strive to hear for ourselves the voice meant for us that calls us and changes us. The words in the Bible can sometimes even get in the way because we don't really listen to them, do we? We read them, and that's different from hearing them. The disciples who were actually there and heard misunderstood Jesus' words all the time, missing the metaphor, missing the point, not hearing, for instance, that they were going to Jerusalem, that he would suffer, die, and be raised on the third day. So something else held them and changed them. And I suggest that in addition to his eyes, it was the power of his pure, authentic voice, the voice that revealed the true self as God's Son. I am the Good Shepherd. It's one of seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. Now, these I am statements connect us to Hebrew scriptures. God reveals God's self to Moses, and Moses asks God God's name. And God says, I am. Jesus reveals himself as God's Son, but with ordinary words, ordinary images, to help us try to grasp the divinity of Jesus. And you know them. I am the bread of life, the true vine, the light of the world, the gate, the way, the truth, and the life, the resurrection and the life, and today, the Good Shepherd. John's Gospel of the Good Shepherd explains to us our relationship with God, the divine human relationship like the shepherd and the sheep. Now, for those of you who object to being called sheep, there are some important things to know about sheep. And for the record, every single sermon that I read this week quotes Barbara Brown Taylor in her book, The Preaching Life. So I guess I will too. She shares what she learned about sheep from a parishioner who actually grew up on a sheep farm in the Midwest. Sheep are not dumb. They are different. The ugly rumor that sheep are dumb was spread, she says, by cattle ranchers because sheep do not behave like cows. Cows are herded from the rear by hooting cowboys with cracking whips, by force, pushing and shoving. But that will not work with sheep. If you stand behind sheep making loud noises, they will run around and get behind you because they prefer to be led. You push cows, but you lead sheep. You get to know them. They get to know you, and they follow your voice. Everyone's favorite psalm, the 23rd, which we heard this morning, tells us in a most beautiful way why we are led and why we follow. Because the Lord is our shepherd. He leads us beside still waters for us to drink. He revives our souls. He lays a table for us, protects us from enemies, and fills our days with goodness and mercy. These words are such a comfort to so many. A friend of mine from seminary recites this psalm 3 times every day. But for some, the bucolic scene is too remote. Jesus in John's gospel is much more direct. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Interestingly, in the first century, shepherds did literally lay down and slept across the opening of the sheepfold to keep the sheep in and the predators out. But 3 times in today's gospel, Jesus says that he lays down his life for the sheep and that he does it willingly. Now, it's okay if we ask how this plays out for us. Jesus is very direct. But I think the message then is in many ways the message now. And we need to think about God laying down God's life for us. Jesus is all in for us. He gives all of himself and continues to do so. Jesus, our good shepherd, is all in. All. Always. Now and forever. That is the authentic voice and the true promise that we are asked to hear and to follow. Now, Jesus also says, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. One. He is the one vine. We are the branches. His voice is strong. He expects to be listened to. So not only are we part of something larger than ourselves and have a responsibility to the flock that we live in, other sheep will also hear his voice and follow. We are not the center of the universe. Jesus is all in for them too. One flock, all following one shepherd. And that's the way it is. I'm reminded of the relief that comes on a trip or on a tour when someone else leads. All you have to do is get to the bus on time. The gift, the real gift, is that each of us on the bus is free to experience our life, to give and love and enjoy as someone else cares for us and moves us along. So to follow Jesus like sheep doesn't sound dumb to me. It sounds more like a grace and a privilege when so many are lost and lonely and alone. So on this Good Shepherd Sunday, I wonder if we could listen for the voice of Jesus in the words we say. I wonder, too, if we could think about what it means to follow, to really follow that voice. And let us celebrate our sheepness, grateful to be in a flock at all, willing to trot along behind with everyone else, knowing that we are loved beyond measure, because the guy up front says he will lay down his life for us. And finally, let us remember the Right Reverend Joseph John Bruno, former bishop of the Diocese of Los Angeles, our great, good, and faithful shepherd for so long. May he rest in peace.